It's so good to be with you and to see you virtually, if not literally in the flesh. But it's wonderful, isn't it? Churches are closed, but heavens aren't closed. And we still have access to our Father in heaven. And God is doing some amazing things in the days in which we're living. Buildings are shut, but God's word isn't shut at all. And God's work is going on. Praise his name. Whether we will be opening our churches before the public houses, I do not know. There's a bit of discussion going on at the moment, whether the public houses are going to be open on the 4th of July, and whether churches can open as well. But we will just wait and see and enjoy what God is doing at the moment in our lives and in our fellowships. I want to read some verses from the first chapter of Acts of the Apostles. I'm going to be reading from the first verse down to verse 11. And Luke writes, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach, and until he was taken up into heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men, dressed in white, stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" Hallelujah. Praise God for his word. It's a few years ago now, but I remember when I was at school, and I wondered why there were some children that were absent from lessons on a Thursday morning once a year. And the answer I was given eventually was this, that they attended church because on that particular Thursday, it was Ascension Day. They were celebrating what we have read about in verses 9 to 11 of that chapter, the return of Jesus into heaven. And I'm sure that you will have known that yesterday was Ascension Day. I know that you had parties at home and you sent cards to one another and you wished each other a happy Ascension Day, didn't you? But yesterday was Ascension Day. And this day is an important day, but I guess rather neglected in the Christian calendar. It is not celebrated the same way as Christmas Day or Good Friday or Resurrection Day, Easter Day. Of course, there's no direction that's been given in the New Testament that we should be celebrating any of these days necessarily. In the United Kingdom, they don't give us a public holiday for Ascension Day. They do at Christmas, they do on Good Friday, they do on Easter Day, and it used to be on Whitsun as well, that they gave us a bank holiday, but that doesn't always happen at their spring holiday now. Some countries, they do have a public holiday on Ascension Day, and people go to church and worship the Lord on that special day. But Ascension Day is a literal historic event. Just like the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And Luke, the writer of Acts, stated that when he wrote his gospel, he included that all that Jesus began to do and to teach right up to the point of his ascension, which occurred 40 days after his resurrection. And it was during those 40 days Jesus had proved beyond any doubt, infallibly, that he was alive, and confirmed his promise that within a few days the Holy Spirit would come. Verse 5 and verse 8 of that chapter we read, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Those few days is what we'll be celebrating next weekend, Pentecost or Shavuot, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus foretold his death and his resurrection. And also, he foretold the return of his Father in heaven, his ascension. He was talking to the Jews on one occasion, and he said this, "I'm with you for only a short time, and then I will go to the one who sent me," John 7, verse 33. Later on, when he was speaking to his disciples, he said, "My little children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." John 13 and verse 33. Well, you remember that Peter was very upset about that. "Why can't I follow you now? I'll give my life for you, Jesus." Well, we know what happened. But Jesus went on to say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." He says, "I go in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going there to my Father's house to prepare a place for you." Later on, we read, "You heard me say," says Jesus, "I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father. I have told you this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." John 14, 28 to 29. And I want to come back to these, this last sentence. "I have told you this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." There was something of significance in the life of the disciples on Ascension Day, that Jesus says, "When it does happen, you will believe." John 14, 28 to 29. "I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father." John 16 and verse 28. Jesus said, "I have told you these things. Because I've told you these things, you are filled with grief." John 16, verses 5 to 7. But we will see a significant change occurred in the lives of these disciples between what he said about it and after it actually took place. And we note that there is a link between Ascension Day and the Holy Spirit coming. Jesus said on one occasion, it's necessary for me to go away. It's in your best interest that I go away, because if I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, another comforter, and he's going to be in you forever. So there was a link between him going away and sending the Holy Spirit. There was another link between Ascension Day and Jesus coming again. Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also will be with me where I am. Ascension Day has happened. Shavuot has happened. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. But this last promise of Jesus is yet to be fulfilled. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be with me where I am. Isn't that wonderful? There are further promises of what will take place in the life of his followers as a result of his returning to the Father in heaven. We read some other interesting details in Luke's account of the ascension, Luke 24 and verse 50. And he led them outside as far as Bethany. Then as he raised his hands, he blessed them. And it happened while he was blessing them, he went away from them, and he was being brought up into the sky. After they paid homage to him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were constantly in the temple praising God. Do you remember I said a little earlier, quoting Jesus said, because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. And yet after ascension, their grief had gone away and they were filled with great joy, and they were in the temple praising God, and they were worshiping. There was something so significant about the ascension of Jesus that changed their grief into great joy. And their joy continued. We also find reference to this in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. And verse 19, after Jesus spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. Peter writes, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand. Where is Jesus now? Well, he's in heaven. I know he's in our hearts, but he's in heaven. Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus, is ascended and he is in heaven. Heaven is a real place. Sometimes the door is open just a little chink and it's possible to see into that place. Do you remember when Stephen was being stoned? He saw heaven open and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Be wonderful to die like that, wouldn't it? The grace that God gave him when he was laying down his life for the cause of Jesus. There are times when, as it were, the doors are open and we're able to see a little bit into that heavenly place. But it is a real place. It is a real place which is above earth. But so these are the facts of the ascension. It really happened, a historic event. But what does it all mean for us? Why did it happen? And why is this day so important? Well, repeating myself again here, it really did happen. It happened literally and physically. The disciples saw it with their own eyes. They saw Jesus going up into the sky until he was taken out of their sight by a cloud. Jesus rose again physically. He had a real body. They saw him. They touched him. They had breakfast with him. Amazing. But now physically, in his resurrected body, he returns to heaven, where in the presence of his Father, he is glorified with the glory that he had before the worlds were created. That is where he is now, and as he is now. A resurrected, glorified Jesus. There's some things that have come up on my screen that I must get rid of, if you'll forgive me. Windows seem to think that I need to update things from time to time, and it's very often when we're having something like this taking place. I wish they would understand that I didn't wish to be interrupted. So it really happened. That's the first thing that we learn about this great day of ascension. This day finalized his life on earth. It gave a visible, tangible demonstration of that fact. During those 40 days between his resurrection and ascension, he was coming and going. You remember he met those two on the way to Emmaus, and he sat down and he broke bread, and as soon as he did that, he vanished from their sight. He was gone. Over that period of 40 days, he was seen on a number of occasions. But now his going is final. He's not going to suddenly appear again in an upper room or at a home with some of his disciples or on the seaside for breakfast time. Now his going is final, and his disciples would finally know that they would not see him again until he returned. You men of Galilee, why are you looking up into heaven? This same Jesus will come in exactly the same way as you have seen him go into heaven. And that's when we will see Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Whether we're resurrected in new bodies and we're caught up in the clouds to meet him in the air, or whether we're still alive, we shall see Jesus coming in glory from heaven for his own. What a wonderful day that is. What a wonderful day that will be, this same Jesus. So that's the second thing. This day, as it were, gave a visible, tangible demonstration of the fact that now his session on earth, since he was born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, grew up as a child, became man, ministered in Galilee and other places, crucified, resurrected. Now he's returned back home. It gave a visible demonstration of all that he said was true. All his promises are reliable. He foretold his death. Well, the disciples didn't exactly like that idea and didn't believe that he was going to die. He foretold his resurrection. And they weren't even too sure that that was going to happen either, were they? They even doubted that. He said that he would return to his Father in heaven, and we've looked at some of those scriptures. I'm going away, I'm coming back again. I'm only here for a little while, for a short time, and now I'm going to the one that sent me. These are his predictions, his promises. He's going back to his Father in heaven. And the great thing was that they actually saw him go. So that they knew that what he had said, what he had promised, literally took place. And this event, this great ascension time of Jesus, confirmed all his promises. It sealed and settled once and forever all that Jesus had said about himself and all that he said he would do. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father. I have told you this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. So it confirmed everything that Jesus had spoken. He could be trusted absolutely. He spoke the truth. He is the truth. He is the way to the Father. He is the life. He is everything. But there was something in addition to that. During those 40 days, not only had Jesus proved infallibly that he was alive, he had opened their minds in order to show that all that was written about him in the Old Testament must be fulfilled. And there's some verses that I shall look at in a moment to show that the ascension of Jesus was in the Old Testament, and that was fulfilled. Now they could understand the scriptures. They were almost ready to go out and tell the good news to the people in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the earth, but not until the Holy Spirit came upon them. But everything was ready. They had proof of the resurrection. They had that confidence in the promises of Jesus. His word can be trusted. They could go out with that authority, with that assurance, with that confidence. In the Old Testament scriptures, remember Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. telling people the gospel based upon the Old Testament. All that God had said would happen to Jesus had been fulfilled. They went out with that confidence. They could understand the scriptures. They had full assurance in the words of Jesus and in the scriptures. And so we see how the Ascension Day for them became a source of confidence, of faith, and of hope, and of continuous joy and gladness. It really changed their lives from being so disappointed and full of grief to a body of people that were just filled with joy and ready for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And off they went to preach the good news of Jesus. Now the fourth thing, John 14 and verse 28, coming back to that. You heard me say that I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I'm going to the Father. I have said this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. You can see how their lives were changed when they saw the ascension of Jesus. I'm not sure whether this is going to happen this year, but when a football team has won the cup final, they come home, the team comes home with their trophy, and they're in the top of a bus, and the crowds are there celebrating the fans are there celebrating their victors. Great deal of joy and gladness and celebration. And Jesus is the champion of his people, isn't he? He's the champion of his people. He has won the victory. When you ascended on high, you led captives in your train. You received gifts from men. Psalm 68 and verse 18. And the figure here may be of armed forces returning home after victorious campaign abroad. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Psalm 24 and verse 9. You know, we looked at the fact that there was celebration on earth when Jesus ascended. If you think about the celebration in heaven on that day, lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. A celebration in heaven. Jesus has come home. The worshipping crowds in heaven and on earth, 10,000 times 10,000, surrounding the throne and of the Lamb, giving glory to the Lamb, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." He is a victor. He has triumphed over sin. He has triumphed over Satan, over death, over hell, over demons, over sicknesses, over viruses. He is triumphant. He is head over all, Lord of all. He reigns supreme. And he's there in his rightful place at God's right hand. What a celebration in heaven. Can you get that? And I think there was a little bit of a sorrow in the heart of Jesus. He said, if you love me, you'll be glad that I'm going to the Father. If you really love me, you would see what I'm going to. You would see the joy that I've got to look forward to. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Now he's set down at the right hand of God. If you love me, you will be joining in that great celebration. So thankful for all that has happened. So thankful that I've completed the work that the Father has given me to do. And now I've come home victorious, triumphant, finishing that work that he gave me to do. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. And this day celebrates and seals and settles all that Jesus was sent to do and accomplish for our full salvation. It is finished. He can now go home. Just think of what it must have meant for him. You remember that prayer of Jesus that's recorded in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel? And he's saying to the Father, you know, I've glorified you on earth. I've finished the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, I just long to have that glory. Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I wonder whether Jesus could remember what it was like in eternity past when he was with his Father in glory. Is he feeling a little bit homesick at this moment? I just want to get home. I just want to have that glory restored to me, returned to me, because I've finished the work that you've given me to do. I've glorified you on earth. Now I want to share your glory once again in heaven. And Jesus says, if you love me, you'll be glad that I'm going to the Father. You know, there's a lot in the ascension of Jesus that we can say, well, that's for me. And I'm going to share a few things in before we close this evening. What's in it for us? What is in it for us? Well, what is in it for Jesus? And Jesus said, and I found that as I've been thinking about this, possibly one of the most challenging things that Jesus said about his going back to heaven. If you love me, you will be glad that I'm going to the Father. In other words, are you just thinking about yourselves, your needs, the fact that you may feel abandoned because I've gone away, you're going to be filled with grief, you're going to feel a loss without me, walking with you and teaching you and doing wonderful things. But do not think of the joy and the satisfaction. If you love me, will you not enter into that? You know, this is the challenge here, that are we more concerned about our needs and put our needs and ourselves first, even our own ministry first, and the needs of our ministry before the glory of Jesus? If we really love him, the goal of our lives will be the glory of Jesus. And the glory of Jesus was shown on the day of ascension. What a solemn challenge that is. Let's fix our eyes upon Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah, isn't that wonderful? He has sat down. No earthly priest could ever sit down. His work was never over. But Jesus offered himself once and for all. His work is finished, and he can sit down. And finally, what does this great day do for us as believers? Well, the hope of the believer now and in the future is secure because of Ascension Day. Where is Jesus now? Well, he's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. All power and authority given to him, King of kings and Lord of lords. His name every knee will bow in heaven and earth. Jesus is in heaven now. But where are our lives now? It's an interesting question, isn't it? With respect to where Jesus is now. Well, let me read something from Ephesians when Paul was writing his letter to that church there. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. I wonder whether we felt a little bit locked in recently. Where you are now, sitting in your front rooms or lounges or kitchens or bedrooms or in your gardens or wherever you are sitting at this moment, in your cozy armchairs and sofas or wherever. Just think for a moment that also you are seated together with Jesus in heavenly places. That's where he is, and that's where we are spiritually, because we are in Christ. We are part of him, joined to him in this wonderful union that we have with him. Paul goes on to say these things when he's writing his letter to the church at Colossae. He says, set your minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. It's been very difficult, hasn't it, recently, perhaps, to set our minds on things which are above and not on earthly things. Perhaps wondering when we're going to get our next delivery from Tesco's or whatever. How long is it all going to last? When are we going to be set free? When are the children going to go back to school? All these sort of things. Paul says, set your minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. Why does he say that? For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Isn't that amazing? It's almost as though, and I'm going to demonstrate this with my Bible here. There's you and me. And your life is hid. This is Christ. And your life is hid in Christ, in those heavenly places where he's gone. And you're safe and you're secure in him. Could you find a safer place to be? In these days of so much uncertainty, not knowing quite what's going to happen next, when so much fear is in the world around us, what a tremendous position we have as believers. Jesus has ascended to his Father's right hand. Where are we? We're in Christ. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And it doesn't end there, because it says, when Christ appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And that's because of Ascension Day. If I go away, what's going to happen? What am I going to do next? Well, I'm going to come back for you. And I'm going to take you to be where I am. Because I'm preparing a place for you now in heaven. That's where I've gone. That's what I'm doing right this moment. I'm preparing a place for you. There are many rooms in heaven. And he's still building rooms. Because there are more people being saved. And it's getting bigger. Those rooms in heaven, more of them. And he's quite busy, is Jesus, because he's building more rooms for us in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And he says, I'm going to come back one day, and I'm going to take you to be with me, but where I am, there you will be also. Writer of the Hebrews says this, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. He enters the sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus is, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. Isn't that wonderful? Why has he gone there? He's gone there as our forerunner, as a guarantee that we're going to follow him one day, because we're joined to him forever. And one day we're going to be with him physically, with glorified bodies just like his body, one day when he comes back again. And this hope is an anchor for the soul. The anchor is in Jesus, not just in the hope, but the hope is in Jesus, because it's entered where Jesus is, into the sanctuary, behind the curtain, who went before us and entered on our behalf. Why did Jesus go back to heaven? To receive the glory that is his due, to be united again in glory with his Father, to show his victory, to celebrate his victory, to be celebrated, to be praised and honoured and glorified. But he's gone there on our behalf as well. And that's where he is now. He's interceding for us. There is a man in heaven now, a glorified man who walked this earth. He knows all about our problems. He knows all about our circumstances. He knows all about our feelings. In every part, he's been tempted just like we are, yet without sin. Yet we have that confidence of coming to him in prayer. Because there is a man in Christ, in heaven now, a glorified man. Praise his name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. We thank you for all that you are and all that you've done. You are the King of glory. And we thank you that on that Ascension Day, the gates of heaven were opened. The gates lifted themselves up, the ancient doors open, that you may go in, victorious, triumphant, King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lamb that once was slain, crowned now with glory and honor. Lord, we want to share what those disciples shared on that day of ascension, that joy, that confidence, that surety, that assurance that in our lives. With all that you have done and finished and completed once and for all is now ours through your love, through your grace to us. That you've gone before us into the heavenly places and you went on our behalf. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son, for allowing him to come to this earth. Your Son that was with you in eternity past, that shared with you in the creation of all things, that was the desire of your heart, and yet you allowed him to come to this earth to be a baby, even before that, to be a seed, to be an embryo in a mother's womb, humble himself, becoming a servant, becoming obedient unto death, taking our sins upon himself as a sin offering, rising again, ascending back to you, because you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Thank you, Father, for giving us Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that through the ascension of Jesus, you've come as well. You come to fill our lives. You come to give us that assurance. You come to pour out the love of God into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You come to teach us about Jesus, to reveal him to us. And we thank you that you've done that. Thank you for convicting us of our sins. Thank you for drawing us to Jesus. Thank you that you're in our hearts now. Thank you that you're changing us from one degree of glory unto another, until at last we stand in the throne room, giving glory and honor to Jesus who sits upon the throne, and to the Father, and to you, Holy Spirit, God in three persons, holy, blessed Trinity. We stand before you, praise you, glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.